Good morning, everyone. If you would mind, come take your seats so we can get the service started. Let's open up in prayer. Please bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father God, Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for health and the sunshine that we have outside, God. We just thank you for this time to come together. We ask that you would bestow your Holy Spirit upon us, God, to fill this place, God. Not only this place, but our bodies, God, this temples, our minds, our hearts, our souls, God, to be receptive of what you have to give to us today, what you have to deliver to us. Not only receptive, God, but to apply it to our lives, God. Let it be all of you and none of us. We ask you to, again, come in this place. Bless everyone, each and everyone that is represented here today, God. We ask you to bless the messenger, God. A special anointing upon her lips, God, that she delivers the word to us, God. Nothing added, nothing taken away. We just ask that you would just be with this service, God. Again, send your Holy Spirit, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And forgetting where I was supposed to be. So that's a good thing wrapped up in that prayer. Thank you, Jermaine. I appreciate that. Let's stand and let's say out loud together these precious scriptures from God's holy word. Galatians 3:29 will be from the Amplified, and then Genesis 22:17 will be from the New King James Version. Let's say it together. And if you belong to Christ, are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Praise God. Praise God.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been
we have the opportunity to give back a portion unto the Lord of what he has blessed us with. And his blessings are abundant. And it is a form of worship that we serve him in this way. And that we ask that he will just bless the giver with the gifts that they have contributed. Let's ask the Father. Father God, we just come before you. And Lord, our hearts are just in awe of the abundance that you pour out upon us in so many ways, in so very many ways. And Father, we offer back a portion, both the tithe and an offering, back unto you. We ask that your presence would be amongst us, that your spirit would be filling this this time of giving. And that, Lord, you would even multiply again back unto us that which is offered in this offering time. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen.
I thought it was another time of that amazing way that the Holy Spirit works. Because the song that I'd already picked out before I saw Pastor Janet and what the Lord led her for in the worship is an old hymn called Holy, Holy, Holy. And it was written by Reginald Heber, and the music was by John B. Dykes. And it's an old one that is just a beautiful one. So let's sing it a cappella. Holy, 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 Lord God.
Holy, holy, holy.
Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your name. Oh, Lord God, you are the one true almighty God. And you are holy, holy, holy. And we thank you and praise you for your awesome, wonderful love for each and every one of us. You are mighty, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we lift up to you. This is your tithes and our offerings unto you, Lord God, our holy God, our pure God, our God full of love and mercy and grace. And we lift this unto you, Lord God. May this be used in ways totally and completely well-pleasing to you, Lord. For you know that is our heart's desire. But we need your direction in order to do so. We need to continuously seek you. And we thank you that you are there to guide and direct us, to use us in ways that totally, completely glorify you. So this is presented to you, Lord God. May your blessings just abound to every part of this, your tithes and our offerings. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings goes as our tithe to Foursquare in order to help the Foursquare denomination, in order to help, also part of it helps the missionaries around the world, in order for us to be able to be part of the body of Christ all around the world, all different denominations, where we are speaking and teaching and preaching and praying and proclaiming and declaring your truth, your precious holy word. Thank you, Lord. This is yours. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you see me dressed up? Do you see? Okay. I don't normally dress this way. I got tattooed up. I go, oh, I so got to get tattooed up. Because when we went to the Operation Christmas Child, the two ladies that were more the in the front had the tattoos right here. So I told Debbie, we so got to do that. And then this last year, it was 100 million bucks, right? That's what it says. 100 million boxes last year that they did. And then they did 28% more, right? I think it was this past year.
9,950,000.
Is that cool? So is that awesome? I was like, woo! That was so cool. And then, like, it was so neat to hear the testimonies. It was neat to hear one of the girls' testimony was 16 years old. And she said for her, she said at 14, she says, Lord, I want my life to be different. And I'm going to change the world. So she goes, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to change the world. And so on her 16th birthday, she decided to, instead of gifts, she asked everybody to have a packing party and bring box stuff for the boxes and pack boxes. And so she wound up giving like 70 something boxes, right? 76 boxes, yeah. So and so that was really neat testimony. It was neat hearing of this other church and how they kept continuing to grow, and their testimonies was incredible. We did, our goal was 25, and then we did 36. Yeah. So we were happy for that, and that was a praise. And then we heard from Evelyn that her box went to the Philippines, so that was really neat. It was, but we hoped that we would have had this one testimony. And Debbie thought it was on a video, and we didn't, but we heard this testimony, and it was just incredible. I wish you could see it live, because it's just so better to see it from him. I'm going to pass this around. This guy in the black is a gentleman I will be talking about. And this guy, I will be referring to that. So I'd just like you to pass this around, this picture, since I don't have it. But this testimony just was incredible yesterday. This is what our Operation Christmas Child, the boxes that we give. And this is how it impacts. This is a testimony of a life being impacted. And I love it. At the end, they were saying, have you ever, at the end of their program yesterday, they said, have you ever dreamed about being a missionary? So I said, because basically that's what you are. When you're not able to be on the mission field, but you're able to fill a box and bless it, you are part of the missionary. You are blessing others. And you know how we all and others pray over the boxes. They're praying constantly as they have to go through once again before it goes to the place where it's at, because some are allowed certain things and some are not. So they have a thing where they maybe change it up a little bit with the box according to where that box is going, to what country. And but the teams are always praying. There's prayer constantly over these boxes and the stories. But I want to hear, we've seen, heard some neat testimonies. We have some gifts for y'all over here. There's pictures from Panama and some other areas for you to look at. But you can grab any of this stuff. What about the t-shirt? Okay, if anybody wants the t-shirt. And then this little bracelet, because they're making these and putting them in the boxes. So we're going to learn how to do it. You can do it with plastic forks instead of just that thing. Loom? Uh-huh. And then, we got that. So I matched up, see the colors, you know, doing the matching thing. And then, but this story of Alex, he was from Rwanda. And he saw his grandmother and father tortured and killed. At that time when they were, that big breakout in the Civil War, and they're all the same color, but they're just, you know, different, you know, tribes, like, in the sense. And they said their neighbors, I mean, you had some that were married and different. But he said it was just, this one lady in the testimony said it was like evil just all of a sudden came on Rwanda. And then just evil just came over people. And it was just, you saw a friend and a neighbor that you had been friends with for a long time and murdering and killing you or somebody else, you know, or trying to kill you or somebody in your family or something. And he experienced this. He was very young, and he saw them torture people he knew, torture and kill his grandmother and father. So then his aunt wound up taking care of him, but then she died. And before she was very sick, and before she did that, she went across to an orphanage across the street, and she worked it out for him to be able to go there. 3 months later, she died. And when he was there, he received a box from Operation Christmas Child. In that box, remember, it has the gospel story. And he was so blessed by this box that he was special. And that was the beginning of his journey with the Lord. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he grew up, and as he was growing up in the orphanage, he was praying, God, one day I'd love to go to America where these boxes came from. And so a prayer like that was what his heart's desire was. And then one thing leads to another, and a woman winds up adopting him and another child from Africa. And she raises him up. And then there was the opportunity as he's older that Operation Christmas Child had him go back to Rwanda, back to the orphanage that he grew up, and was able to present boxes to these children. He was so cute. He was saying to the kid, he goes, years ago, I wish was like you. He goes, I used to be your height. And the kid's just all smiling and everything. But before he did that, he said, I want to see the one that killed my grandmother and my father. So he went to the prison, and he found him. And he said, I want you to know that I love you, and I forgive you. And God loves you and forgives you. And they record it, and you can hear them crying in the prayer. Just incredible, the power of God's love and his mercy and his grace and the power of forgiveness. And it was just incredible. There it was, what I keep saying all the time. We're supposed to be celebrating Christmas and the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior each and every day as the gift goes on and on and on and on. And this was a perfect example of that. And it was like, wow, Lord, thank you so much for that testimony and for Operation Christmas Child, for Samaritan's Purse, what they are doing to help others, help them to know and believe and receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. the Son of God, and to know and recognize what he did at the cross at Calvary, dying for them. And conquering death forever for 3 days, and then rising again after 3 days, and the power of that resurrection, and that he's there preparing a place for them, interceding on their behalf. That provision is theirs. And it's like, wow, that is a beautiful testimony and story. It was a blessed time seeing God move and God work and hearing the hearts of churches here in the Tucson area wanting to bless through Operation Christmas Child, and how God provided ways for them to be able to do that, how they had certain goals and God provided above and beyond those goals, sometimes to the very last minute, but providing. And I thought, Lord, see, that's our word. Last week that we covered on the acronym of POWER was provided. And I thought, Lord, you are just incredible. Your love, you being so holy, so awesome, so good, so pure, you are there for each and every one of us, helping us and taking care of us. Our Lord is incredible. And in this, of our Lord and the power of forgiveness at the jail ministry, Thursday night, there was a princess there, a princess from Liberia, in jail. Her name was Comfort. She had a daughter, Precious, and Confidence. I said, wow. All the girls were saying, hey, she's really a princess. She told me how she became a princess. Her mother in the village and the family, how it was passed down. And her dad's Jamaican, but her mother was a traveling businesswoman. Okay. And they go back to Liberia because the grandparents, et cetera, had passed down. So she was a queen. She made the father the king and the children. And she's a princess. And so anyways, what was really neat is at the end of the service, Fred doing awesome worship. And after the message, and I'd love to just, as I'm doing roll call, just encouraging them how precious their names are. Because they get called by their last name or numbers, but not by their first name. And then Fred also will just go, and after I'm done with roll call, and they're all randomly placed, he'll remember their names. I can't do that, but he does. There were 21 this last time. 20. And 5 received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And 15 rededicated their life. I mean, they were just all like, let's go for the Lord. And the one, I said, do you know what the Lord's doing for you that have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I mean, there's a party. The angels are rejoicing. I mean, they are partying. So the one, Comfort, gets up and she's going, So I go, okay. And so we're dancing. I said, we are just dancing there and rejoicing and praising God. I felt like David, just uninhibited in my dance before the Lord, praising him for these salvations and these ladies just seeking him and rededicating their life to the one true, almighty, all-powerful God, the one who loves them so much, the one who had his only begotten son die for them, the one who has the Holy Spirit there to help them through the challenges they will continue to face, as we all face each and every day. Wow, our God is mighty. Last week, as we're going over the word power for this year, and Acts 1:8 is our scripture, I put in the year of the Lord, because I love it when they have proclamations and stuff and they say in the year of the Lord. In other words, to me, it's mine. It's like, Lord, this is your year. This is your day. I want you to be Lord and master over it. And then last week we talked about provided, and this week we will go on to the word only. But last week we were going and emphasizing Genesis 22 verses 1 through 8, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. this reminded me of when Pastor DeBee Evelyn had gone over some of the names, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I loved it where she had used the slide with the butterfly. For he's the one that provides us with that birth of being born again, as a butterfly often represents. Yes, God provides. And there's a harvest out there. And he wants us to be a part of that. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. He is the one that is there to help us. And that you can see in that one slide, in 55 slide, that it says Jehovah Mekadesh, which means the Lord sanctifies. We are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is part of his provision. We need to continuously remember that God provides us. We're going out there to help the harvest that he so wants to bring in, the souls that need to be saved. We need to continuously remember Jehovah Jireh, God provides. And God does that in ways that he will provide for us to take precautionary measures, to supply what is needed, to give us sustenance or support what is needed. He is the one that our God will provide for each one of us. He will make available what is needed. He is available to us, and all those supplies that he has are available for us. We need to personalize it. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Well, my God is my provider, as we are traveling down the road that God has for each and every one of us. Where God leads, we need to remember he meets needs. Where God guides, we need to remember he provides. We need to remember always that he will provide, because he wants that harvest, those souls to come in to know him. We need to continue to remember. It's kind of like a picnic basket. But that picnic basket, like, is kind of like tall. So he'll help us to get what is needed. God will provide for us. God can multiply what is needed. As we remember the stories of the fish and the loaves of bread. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Why? Because we need to remember, as that rock symbolizes, I have provision you know not of. Oh, we didn't put it out this week. Okay. But on that treasure chest that I usually have, and we have the Bible, and we have the rocks, the one rock is from here. The other rock is from the prayer pavilion. And to me, those represent, and then it's the four square, and we have the little cute thing when I was at that church, the fire of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fire of tongue. We have the flags that we pray for Israel. We pray for America. And the four square being firm and strong. There's symbolism on there, because that is supposed to be our treasure. We need to remember who provides for us and why he provides. And we need to not think of, well, I need to think of this way and that way. No, we just need to be obedient, because he has ways to provide by our rock, which should be Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And he says that he provides all of that through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He is our rock. Sometimes you need to take that rock and say, you know what? I don't know how, but he's going to supply. And you need to aim that to the Goliath that is there. And say, Lord, take aim and fire. Where God provides, where God guides, he provides. Where he leads, he supplies all needs. Every single need that you need. He won't say, well, I want you to do this, but, well, I just don't know if I have all the means for you to provide for you to do that. No, he says, trust me. Just obey me, and I will provide all that you need. It's kind of like a gift tag that God's given you. God provides for you. And on that gift tag, you need to remember that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work that God calls you to do. He is the one that calls you to do that, as 2 Corinthians 9:8 talks about. We remember where the fisherman and Peter, the story, he's been out there doing his work and no fish. And then Jesus says, I want you to throw it over again. Tells him what side to throw it over. It's like, that doesn't make sense. I've tried that side. It's not going to work. Hello, I've been out there. I know. But he decides to trust him, even when it didn't make sense. And what does he do? He gets so much that the net catching the fish is about to break. We need to remember that as Peter was about to give up, but then he listened to what the rock said, and he didn't give up. He obeyed. We need to remember that until God opens the next door, we need to continue to praise him in the hallway. We just need to constantly praise him. Do we have hearts that say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, the Almighty, the pure, the one that gave me salvation. My hope is in you. My hope, I'm an alien here. My hope is heaven. And I thank you and praise you that my heart wants to continue to love you and use the gifts and talents you give me. All that I need for your work to glorify your name, you will provide. We need to remember that he is the I Am. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, as he told Moses, when you go out, tell them the I Am sent you. The Lord will provide. And what I love is that, and you hear me often say that I want us to have that childlike faith. It's not always easy when you're, you know, an adult and you're reasoning things out, as Peter was trying to do. But we need to remember, as Psalm 127:2 says, God provides for those he loves even while they sleep. He's saying, you are my precious child. I love you. Individual, it's like my God, yet he's there for all who have Jesus, but he's my God, but he's there for all who receive him, but he's my God. I remember hearing the testimony of a Muslim man in a cell. He got caught because he had several passports, because he was going to tell them, as the Quran teaches their false truth, that they were going to, he was to on assignment to come to America to teach Americans the truth, because this Christianity thing was wrong. Well, he's getting tormented by spirits in the jail. And then he starts doing all the stuff that the Quran, because he knew it thoroughly, I mean, he was high up. And I can't remember the gentleman's name, and he's a pastor in Canada now, but when I heard the testimony, and he said, wow, he had done all this stuff, walking over the mines, etc., you know, just had done all of that for his faith. And then he wasn't getting delivered from these demons that were torturing him in the cell. One day Jesus comes in the cell, because he says, well, I'm just going to give up everything that I've done on the Quran, and I'm going to fast and pray and seek this God that others talk about. He was seeking the one true God, knowing that he would then be, that was like the sin for the Islamic faith. And he knew what he was doing, but he was seeking him. Well, your word and these Christians say that you will heal, so help, deliver me. Jesus comes in there. And he says he feels him looking at him. And it's like he was so special to him that it was just, he loved just him. Yet inside he said, I couldn't make it sense because I knew he loved everybody. But yet it was just like he just loved him. But yet he knew he loved everybody, but he just loved him. But yet at the same time he loved him. He said it was so crazy, and he saw the eyes of Jesus like ocean water. And then he said that the Lord started putting out screens of people around the world, and then he started seeing their sins. And then Jesus was saying, I died for them. I died for them. I died for them. I died for them. And he's going, then how do I help them to know? So he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he goes, well, man, I don't know this Bible. I don't even have a Bible here in prison. All of a sudden the next day, a gentleman comes and shows up with a Bible. You can't have Bibles in the prison. But a gentleman, an angel probably, shows up with a Bible, and he just thoroughly is reading it and reading it and reading it. Through, over and through, over and through, constantly reading it, fasting and praying. Being strengthened by the Lord and miraculously released after a time, and then goes out, starts witnessing, ministering for the Lord, as we're all to do. He knew the Jehovah Jireh, that the one who names all the stars, places them, and knows all the names of the stars, the banner of Jehovah Jireh, God provides. He knew and saw that in his life, just as we see with Elijah. Elijah, who had prayed, and God, you know, and kind of challenged these prophets, 850, and these priests of, and challenges the false god of Baal and Asherah, and here he is, and the Lord consumes. They're trying all this other stuff for the altar, but no, he drenches it with water, and God still consumes it with fire. He sees the mighty hand of God providing as he's being obedient. Going to Jezebel, the queen and king. And then he sees God as God has him go and to an area where he says, I'll provide you water from a brook and feed you from the ravens. I commanded them. So he goes. Doesn't make sense, but he goes. He's there for a while. And then eventually God leads him to a home of a widow. And all she has is enough flour and oil for that day. The provision for food for that day. But he says, please feed me. God guided and directed, and that woman trusted and obeyed that man of God, and then saw her provision constantly provided for. And there were other challenges that came that way, but then she continued to see God providing, and so did Elijah as he obeyed. When we were founded here at Pathway of Hope, a little over 8 years ago, the theme with the founding pastors, Pastor Johnny and Mindy Johnson, Arnie's son-in-law and daughter, that is not here on celebrating his birthday. Well, their theme was loving God, loving others, nothing more, nothing less. Love God, love people. But are we doing something about it? Then Pastor Doug, who then took over, his vision, his theme for the pathway of hope that God had given him, his mission was that we exist to glorify God by being a spirit-filled people, empowered by him to do his perfect will. And I can't remember the rest. His perfect will within an imperfect world. Isn't that true? His perfect will was that example of Alex in Rwanda. To be able to go and love and forgive those that murdered his grandmother and father. Wow. This is God's perfect will for us to love others. And he did something about it. He showed that action. And to show the love of the Operation Christmas Child to the children that are in that orphanage that he was one time. Seeing the example of what God can do as you continue to love him and he'll provide for you. Maybe in a different way, but he will provide. I have kind of revised our vision and mission statement because I'm so convinced that we are supposed to listen. So I added that. We will glorify God as we love, listen, trust, and obey him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth, and set the captives free by being a light for him in the community and way beyond, so they too can be with him for eternity. This is our heart. It's not just about here. It's about having to help the body of Christ around the world, praying as we often do and do in different ways. We may be small, but we have hearts that are for the world as God has a heart for the world.
because remember, the world is his hood. And he created that. And he loves them. And he wants all of them to be his homies. As we heard from Flame, Marcus Gray, in that power song a few weeks ago, the rap song. And our updated mission, the words that we had the first year with Pastor Doug as a senior pastor was believe. And then it was harvest. And then it was reach. The word that we've had from the Lord since I've been senior pastor is receive. And now it is power. So bringing that together, we need to believe, trust in, rely on, have faith in his word. We need to live, not just talk, but truly live by walking the talk of his great commandments for the harvest of souls, by reaching others with his truth, which is filled with his heart and his love, as we continue to receive his power and walk in and show others the one and only pathway of hope for all mankind. Amen. Because every day, approximately 150,000 people die. Well, only 20% of professing Christians share their faith. Now, this was a statistic I read in about 2 years ago. No, a year and a half ago. So I don't know what those statistics say now. But we know many souls die and don't go to heaven. Each and every day. We need to remember that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. Because as we saw that example with Abraham and Isaac, Isaac trusting his father and Abraham obeying the Lord. We see that then as a human way of trusting and also a spiritual way of trusting and obeying. No questions asked. Because we know Abraham already tried to work things out on his own, and God, the hard way, taught him, and he learned, and then he was obedient. And Isaac knew that. He knew that story. He knew what that was. So he was just obeying. But I loved it where we had seen and about Lou Engle's book, Digging the Wells of Revival. Reclaiming your historic inheritance through prophetic intercession. As we pray, I loved it where then out of Watchman Nee's and how he referred to Genesis 22:14. And how he said, we're not, Isaac didn't have to do anything. Everything was provided from his father. He didn't have to think about a wife. His father worked that all out. And the spiritual father, the heavenly father. And he didn't have to, God told him not to get new wells, to just open up the wells. And last week I had said redig, and I meant to say just open them up. He didn't really have to do redig. His father did the work. Our Heavenly Father has done the work. He's just saying, open it up. It's there for you. But are you having a heart that's willing to receive? Because if you have a closed heart with doubt and unbelief, then you're closing up that well that I want to fill you up with my living word, my water that will be flowing out of you of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, all you have to do is open yourself to receive everything that I have, and I will be there to provide for you. And then when Isaac passed on, the tomb was already taken care of. His father took care of that. Well, our Heavenly Father took care of that price when we die to go to heaven, our heavenly home, so that when we're absent from this tent that we're living in, this body suit, we will be present with the Lord. God provided that, just as we see that example with Isaac and Abraham. God will always provide. It just might look different than what we had in mind, because it's filled with the rainbow of his promises. And he wants to paint that over your life and paint a masterpiece. That's why we should always have these hearts of thanksgiving, like a thank you card to him. Thanking him and praising him that, Lord, you do provide. And you are there for me. You are my Jehovah Jireh. And you can pretty up that card however you would want to, because it's out of your heart. Do you love him? Is it like a envelope stamped, Jehovah Jireh, God the Provider? Lord, I thank you and praise you. I'm going to open that up because you are there for me. And that stamped envelope, Jehovah Jireh, God the Provider, is also the power of his word. Are we in it? We need to remember to pray every day. But in that pray, when we're giving him our requests, praising him and stuff, asking, yielding. But I love the acronym that the Lord gave me where we need to continually praise him. Recognize who he is. But in that then comes the acclamation. Not just a praise inside, but you can't help but speak it and share it with enthusiasm. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, as David cried out. When you're not feeling that acclamation and praise, then cry out as David did. And then yield to the Holy Spirit. But we need to be willing to listen to what he speaks to us. Because in this is filled with his love. He has thoughts that outnumber the grains of sand. He is the one that we need to trust because it's filled with his love and his promises. The inheritance that we have as Abraham was promised. But we need to continually hold our Heavenly Father's hand. Are we? Are we like a dartboard continuing to have our heart targeted on our God who provides for each and every one of us? Do we really trust him as this see-through trust? Do we really believe as Abraham and Isaac's example, Jehovah Jireh, our Lord, provides? The God who provides, my God, will provide for me? When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, do we really remember this communion time with the Lord of what he did for us, provided for us? Or do we just take the elements like, yeah, thanks? Are we really rejoicing every day for his salvation and what he has for us? That he cares for us? That the lamb was provided just as he provided the lamb for the situation that he called Abraham and Isaac to? Do we believe in the power of that resurrection? That power of the resurrection is the power that we can continue to live on each and every day? Do we? He is the one that provides for us. And we need to remember that he is the one, he is the only one that we can trust for that provision. I want to go to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. And I want to read this again. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. I know I read it last week. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and God said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he, the Lord God, said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. The Lord's guiding and directing. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He was obeying what God told him to do. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said, what did he do though? He lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. God's going to be touching our eyes. He still has more for us. And he's going to be touching our eyes. And he wants you to focus. He wants you to lift your eyes up to what his call and his purpose is for your life. And he wants you, when the challenges come, he wants you to lift your eyes and see the promise afar off, what he has provided, what he has for you to do, where you're headed. See this place afar off, because God's provision is there. And that provision on the way up is there. Are we listening to him? But it's only by him, through him, for him. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. He had to do some work. It wasn't just poop, it was there. He also knew where he was going was not going to have the provisions there, because God guided and directed him, and he knew where it was, so he knew what he had to do in order to go for more provision that would be where he was to go. But it was only through the obedience that it was there. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And Abraham said, here I am, son, my son. And then Isaac says, you know, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together, and then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Why? Because he knew that God had promised. He knew that God had promised that the ancestors would come through his son, that he had many blessings that would come through his son, Isaac, not Ishmael, Isaac. God blessed Ishmael. But he said, what I'm working through, and God knowing the promised Messiah, the Lamb, the perfect sacrifice for us, would come through Isaac. That was God's plan. Because Abraham tried to help God out, and that didn't work. And God blessed Ishmael. But he had a plan and a purpose for that child, for his purpose to be born through Abraham and Sarah, not her maidservant. He saw this, and so Isaac, he took that knife to slay his son, but the angel, remember, the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord, in some commentaries feel that it was Jesus, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And so he said, here I am. What did he say when he heard the call? What did he say? Here I am. That's what our response should be. Lord, here I am. Speak to me, Lord, because I want to hear what you're guiding and directing me. I'm here, Lord. Here I am. And he, the angel of the Lord, said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Are you withholding something from the Lord? Because he's saying, I have so much for you, and I have great plans and purposes. But are you really giving him everything? You're all saying, here I am. It doesn't make sense, but I trust you. And I know you have a perfect plan and a purpose. Your love is as if it's only for me, but yet it's for everyone. And my love is only for you, And yet, it's for everyone too. Because if my love joins up with his love, you cannot help but loving everybody else and caring for them. But it's only through the power of his perfect, pure, holy, true love provided us from our Heavenly Father, for God is love, through Jesus Christ, the act of that love, which then we receive the fullness of that love through the Holy Spirit. We need to say, Lord, I do not withhold anything from you. And I am yours. Here I am, Lord, because I fear you. I have awe of you. Yet I know in my obedience to you, I am your friend. I am your joint heir through Jesus, your son, your only son. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked up, and there he lifted his eyes and looked up, and there, once again, he lifted his eyes and looked up, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Sometimes God will have you go through blind to something, but then that provision, he will have you lift up your eyes, turn back behind you, and say, see, it's there. I just wanted to see, were you going to trust me continuously? Even though you passed by, with the provision was already there for you. You say, do you love me? Do you trust that it's there? I'm just seeing how you're going to do each step of the way. Are you really, truly there like Abraham? And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. God may have us do something and change it up. And it doesn't make sense, but he's saying, I'm there the whole time. When I was reading in Luke, and it was, Jesus was in the synagogue and teaching. This was after the wilderness experience. And he's saying, basically, I am he. And the people are all furious and take him to a cliff and get a, throw him over. All angry at him and upset. And then it says he just slips through the crowd. I read several different, you know, versions, and it just says he slipped through the crowd. It reminded me of Corrie Ten Boom's story of when they were in the concentration camp, her and her sister, and they were moving, I think, if I remember the story, I may have it wrong, but I just remember a slipping thing, you know, like Jesus. But I think they were moving from one concentration camp to another, and there was another, so they did a whole check thing, and they had smuggled in a Bible at the other one, but this one was much more strict, and she was seeing how the guards were just, I mean, thoroughly checking them. And she was like, Lord, what do I do? And so they tried the best to hide it, but I mean, there was no way. They were just thoroughly checking them, if you get my drift. And so, anyways, when they come up to the guards, her and her sister slip through. Oh, wow, God. You provided, you took care of that. Wow, let's go. Oh, there's another one right before they get into the barracks. Another thorough checking. And then, again, they slip through. And then they're able to hide and keep that Bible hidden. There. Bible that God provided for them to be able to read and feed on and hear his word, feed on it to strengthen them each and every day and night through the challenges they would face, continually praying for and witnessing to the COs and to all the prisoners and children that would go and be gassed, so that they had an opportunity to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If that is God's will, he will provide, and he will have you slip through. He may have you then turn back and then receive what he provided. But he may have you slip through not seeing that. at that point in time for his purpose, for his reason. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." In verse 14, "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Are we obeying his voice? Our opening scripture, and if you belong to Christ, are in him, who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Galatians 3 is incredible. And I want to go there. And you can join me if you want. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Going on to verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Continuing on, verses 28 and 29. And then this one is out of the Message. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, since you are Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendant, heirs according to the covenant promises. Galatians 3:29 in the Amplified, and if you belong to Christ, are in him, who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. We need to remember, as Genesis 22:17 says, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. The Aramaic Bible in plain English says, and if you are of the Messiah, you are therefore the seed, the offspring, as the English Standard Version says, of Abraham and heirs by the promise. The Weymouth New Testament says, and if you belong to Christ, then you are indeed true descendants of Abraham and are heirs in fulfillment of the promise. Jesus said, it is finished. It is ours. God Almighty is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has seen already what he has already provided for you, what he has called you to do. It is finished. It is complete. It is fulfilled. The New Living Translation says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. What seeds are we planting? Each and every day, the moment, the thoughts, what we speak, how we act, how we react, how we respond is seeds. And it's supposed to be seeds for his glory. Where are we at in that? Clark's commentary on the Bible says, by the gates may be meant all the strength, whether troops, councils, or fortified cities of their enemies. So Matthew 16:18 says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The councils, strategies, and powers of darkness shall not be able to prevail against or overthrow the true church of Christ. And possibly our Lord had this promise to Abraham and his spiritual posterity in view when he spoke these words. Do you have your mighty armor of God on each and every day? Because we are at war each and every day. And what seeds are we planting? Because we have seeds full of this promise. It has been fulfilled. And we have the power of our God that provided for Abraham and Isaac. And all that we see in the Bible and all that we've heard of. That power is for us, but it's provided only in him, by him, for him, through him. All for Father's glory. All for Jesus' glory. All for the glory of the Holy Spirit, because it is by this Holy Spirit providing us through and by Jesus Christ all that our Heavenly Father has for us to do for his perfect will. We need to remember that God provided for Elijah, and he will provide for us. We need to remember that it is only by him that we are provided for. Elijah's faith was incredible. And under God's guidance, Elijah struck a heavy blow against the enemy, the evil of false gods. And there's many false gods out there. He was the instrument God used for miracles against Israel's idolaters. And God has given each and every one of us an assignment to be that instrument against the false gods out there. Are we planting those seeds? Are we standing in that strong faith like Elijah, Abraham, Isaac? Elijah had incredible faith in God. He loyally, faithfully carried out all that the Lord had instructed him. And he struck boldly in the face of enormous opposition. We have opposition here. Many of you have heard that this area has very much strongholds in the satanic realm, the witchcraft, the cults going on, the witches, the warlocks. There is a satanic cult in the Tucson and the surrounding areas. But we are greater than that. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to not fear that or Satan and his demons, but only fear the one true living God in awe and reverence, and opening up that well, keeping that well open, so that the flowing out of our belly will flow rivers of water, streams, living water, the power, the refreshing, the guidance, the direction of the Holy Spirit. But we need to have ears to hear, eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's because he loved us first that we can love others. We need to remember it's not by our power, but it is his power. Only means alone in kind or class, soul. Standing alone by reason of superiority or excellence, without anyone or anything else, alone. And nothing else or more, exclusively and solely. It is only by him. It is only through him. It is only for him that we will be provided that power, enabled with the enabled responsibility, just as Abraham had, just as Isaac had to his father, the responsibility to honor him. Just as Abraham had the responsibility to honor the Father and fulfill what he had called him. Just as Jesus did, what the Father had him do. He was provided by the power of the Holy Spirit in him and through him. Provided by the power by God. Only by him. With that enabled responsibility to glorify the Heavenly Father and to fulfill his perfect plan, his perfect way, for his perfect purpose. And that is who we are. So we need to remember that all that we need for that power of God to move in our life is that mustard seed faith. Grab onto it, hold it, and his faith attaches to our faith and moves. It is that way that he will be the way, the truth, and the life for us. For he is the only way and the pathway to heaven for each and every mankind. So many others will know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Families will come to the cross. And we'll have Jesus as our Lord and Savior as we're planting seeds and being his tool, his instrument. But we need to have that childlike faith as we unravel his precious holy word, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Because that power of Jesus walking on water, the power of the Heavenly Father shining a light on him and continuing to guide his path, even with the challenges of walking on water, was empowered by the Holy Spirit always being with him. And this is who will be with us if we continue to have that well open so we can continue to do his will for him and for his glory. But it is that power, the power of what Jesus did for us at the cross, the power of the resurrection. So I want us to take this time to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, this communion time with him, remembering what he did for us, remembering who he is, and saying, "Thank you for being my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that by your stripes I am healed, and I'm proclaiming that. And I thank you that that day the manifestation will show." And pray that power, using that cleansing power, that the power of by his stripes we are healed, the power of his blood, the power of what Jesus did for us. And pray that power not only for yours, but so that you can be that mighty instrument, that vessel to be used for God to plant those seeds. And maybe part of that will be that seed will bloom and the person will be ready to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you will be the tool, the instrument to help them pray the prayer of salvation and then continue to help them, discipling them. Either guiding them to Pathway of Hope or guiding them to another church that the Lord is leading them to. But a Bible preaching, preferably Spirit-filled church. But we are the body of Christ. And it's at this time that we're having communion with him, remembering that we are in the mission field and we're joining together as Jesus came to heal all. He came to save all. He came to love all with his perfect love and perfect understanding. Let's prepare our hearts, for he is the one that provides. Pastor Janet, I think he's going to do that, but you're going to play after for the worship. I will have the ushers hand out the elements. And I want you to hold them as you're continuing to pray and have your heart being prepared for it. Asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that you need to repent of. Anything that may be blocking to receive everything that he has. The power of remembering what Jesus did for us. This is a special time. And we need to do it in total and complete reverence and awe of what he did for us. And recognition. Thanking him and praising him in our hearts. So let's take a few moments and then we will partake together. And the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord, for what you did for each and every one of us. Let us partake together. Lord, I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. And I thank you and praise you that by your blood that was shed at Calvary for each and every one of us, for all mankind, I thank you and praise you that we have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we have received that amazing gift. We have received the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. We are washed whiter than snow. And that is how we can be the righteous of you, for we are sanctified in and through and by your blood, Jesus. And so, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So thank you, Lord, for our salvation. And thank you for the power of your blood. May we partake together. Our God has an awesome plan for us, individually and together. And he is the one that has provided his power, only with that enabled responsibility to continue to do it in ways that are well-pleasing to him and glorifying to him.
And it is as we continue to remember who he is, continuing to have hearts, loving him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, wanting to be his totally and completely when it doesn't make sense. Saying, here I am, Lord. Fill me. Use me. Send me. I am yours. For you, for your glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You are holy, you are good, you are righteous, you are pure. Thank you for being our provider. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us worship the Lord together, and we will have the prayer altar ministry team together. So please remember there's power in prayer. Don't be afraid to go to the for the prayer altar ministry. Yes.
I'm sorry, Pastor. We ask the congregation to pray this week. We're going to have the gem show, which means all the new ages.
Oh, yes.
Going to be there.
Yes. Yes. Let's take a moment right now before we do that. Heavenly Father, you know the spiritual realm. And I know that there are witches and warlocks and satanic cults everywhere throughout the whole world. There is no safe place, Lord God. But Lord, the safe place is only with you, Jesus, being our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we come against that. But Lord, I thank you that we are standing our ground against the enemy. And we are claiming this ground and this territory. We are claiming the city of Tucson and the surrounding areas. We are claiming this county and Pinal County. And we are claiming the state of Arizona, the United States, to be back to you. The one true God, Lord God, Almighty. The God of this nation. The God of our lives. And the God of this territory. For you are stronger than any strongholds. You are mighty than any of the enemy's plans. Yes. So we ask and pray that you will have your protection. We command and loose your warring guardian angels, your angels of protection, and your healing ministering spirits, your angels, to be in that area where the gem show is. Lord, I pray that instead of people being drawn away from you, they will be drawn to you. So we are claiming the power of prayer in the name of Jesus Christ upon this gem show, and that even some don't even know why or how, but they are drawn to you, and Jesus will be their personal Lord and Savior. Those who are Christians that are there, help them to be a tremendous light and protect them. Place your strongest hedge of protection around them and your protection from the transferring of spirits upon them and all that they have there for the gem show. So we ask and pray that instead you will pour blessings and favor upon them. So we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your mighty power of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
He said, what the enemy has intended for evil purposes, God will turn into good. And he will cause even the ones to cry out.
At the gem show, like crying out, praise God, worship God. Oh, God, you are holy. You are holy. That's awesome. Woo-hoo!
Right.
Yeah, that's our God. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Times of refreshing. Here in your presence, no greater blessing than being with you. My soul is restored, my mind is renewed. There's no greater joy soul is restored. My soul is restored. My mind is renewed. There's no greater joy, Lord. There's no